How to face your fears is the topic of our message this morning. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been learning from the Word of God how to have a new year without fear. Several weeks ago, when we were still looking in Isaiah 43, we talked about the fear of uncertainty. And there's just something about the unknown that tends to drive fear deep into our hearts. And every day is an unknown to us, isn't it? Every day is the future approaching us into the present. And so there is uncertainty about the future, but we have a God who knows the future. And God said to his people in Isaiah 43, he said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. You are mine." And as soon as Christ comes into your life, you become his purchased possession. You belong to him. He tells us in his word that he purchased us to release us from the burden and the bondage of sin. Isaiah 41 verse 10 also says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What a great promise that God gives to his people. And to know that through him we can have the assurance and the peace during those times of uncertainty because he is with us. And then more recently we looked at Psalm 91, and God explained to us in that psalm how to be free from fear. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall not be afraid," Psalm 91 tells us. And from that psalm we learned about the secret place that leads to the securest place in the presence of God. And we can be thankful to God for the security that we have in Christ. Then last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 13, learning about the fear of loneliness, thanking God for the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so today we are looking at how to face your fears. So looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, we are seeking to see what God's word says about facing our fears. There once was a child who was afraid of storms, and one night a big storm came and he asked his mother to stay in his room that night because he was afraid. And she said, "You'll be all right without me because I have to stay with Daddy." And as she turned to leave his room, she heard her son say under his breath, "Daddy, that big sissy." Well, you may feel like the man who wrote this honest confession. "Whenever thunder splits the air, my dog gets quite unsteady. He dives beneath the bed to find that I am already there." Well, fears have that way of paralyzing and immobilizing us. You may be able to identify with the man who said that he didn't have any problems with fear when it came to eternal life or salvation, but it was the next 24 hours that scared him. Keep in mind that God never intended for his children to live with unholy or unhealthy or unhelpful fear. And so that's why he reminds us in his word over and over again to fear not, fear not. Fear not. I was recently reading through Jeremiah's book called Lamentations when he cried out to God in Lamentations chapter 3 in verses 55 to 58. He says these words, "I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, 'Do not fear.' O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life." What a great promise that God gives. As Jeremiah could say, "I've called upon you in great need of help, and you said to me, 'Do not fear.'" So how do you face your fears? Well, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, apparently Timothy had allowed his fears to prevent him from serving God. Perhaps it was the fear of failure. Maybe it was fear of rejection. Maybe it's fear of persecution. Maybe it's just fear of people. Perhaps it's a combination of several fears. We don't really know exactly what his fears were. But at any rate, as Paul speaks here in this chapter, he makes it clear that his fears had prevented him from fulfilling all that God had for him in the gift that he had received from God to serve God. And Paul attempts to encourage him here in these verses. And so let's have a look at that this morning to see if we can understand a little more about what Paul was saying to Timothy and how that might help us to face our fears as we move into the new year. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, which we had read to us a while ago, says this: "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," or self-discipline or self-control, as some translations render it. Verse 6 begins with the word "therefore," which ties it to what Paul has just been saying about Timothy in the preceding verses. So let's keep that in mind in context and have a look at those verses. And as we look back in that beginning of that chapter, Paul has been thinking about his relationship with Timothy. He called Timothy his son, his son in the faith. He was instrumental in Timothy coming to know the Lord. And he tells him in verse 3 how he had remembered to pray for Timothy. And then in verse 5 he tells him how he had remembered his genuine faith that was in him and also in his mother and in his grandmother. And now, having said all that, he then says in verse 6, he says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you." Now, here's the good news, is that God had given Timothy a gift that was in him. The bad news was that it was in need of being stirred up. And that phrase, "stir up," that he mentions there in verse 6, was used to describe the stoking of a fire. When the flames of a fire die down and no longer give off much heat, you take the poker and you push the coals together and you put another log on to get the fire burning again. And that is what that word or words "stir up" mean in the original context. Does the gift that God has given you need stoking? Need stirring up? And you might ask, what gift are you talking about? Well, it's the spiritual gift that God has given you. If you're a Christian this morning, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. All Christians have a spiritual gift, as 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 reminds us, "As each one has received a gift, let him minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." As each one has been given a gift, let him minister it. Let him serve with that gift, one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so the gifts that God has given to each of his children, each believer, is intended for the benefit of the whole, intended for the benefit of the body of Christ, the church. It's not intended for something that we keep to ourselves. It's not just a blessing to us, even though it does become a blessing to us to have a spiritual gift to utilize, but it's primarily given so that the body of Christ functions together well. That's the purpose that God has given spiritual gifts. And sometimes we don't use the gift that God has given us due to fear. It can be fear that causes us to neglect the gift which God has placed in you. That's what Paul said also to Timothy in his previous letter to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." Do not neglect the gift that is in you. What was the cause of that neglect for Timothy? As I said, we don't really know, but whether it was fear of failure or fear of rejection, the fear of persecution, the fear of being young and ministering to older people. A few times in his letters to Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy not to be afraid of being young, not to let people despise his youthfulness. And so maybe it was the fact that he was younger than others that caused Timothy to not use his gift the way God had intended. Maybe it's the fear of letting somebody down. You can be so afraid of making a mistake that you don't have a go. You don't have to always succeed, because we see in Paul's life that he failed at various times, and yet God used that man greatly. And it's often times that when we fail that we learn to grow through that situation, and we learn to succeed in the future because of failure in the past. So failure is not necessarily a bad thing. Walt Disney, who I'm sure you know of well, got a job as a cartoonist for a newspaper in his early days, and they fired him. And we see what he accomplished in his lifetime. Do you realize that Napoleon Bonaparte, who was that great general, went to a military school and he came second last in his course? He was considered a failure. Failure is part of learning. But the fear of failure can cripple us if we let it. And Satan loves to emphasize our failures to paralyze us in our lives. And so Paul says to Timothy in verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." The fear that you may have concerning using the gift that God has given you is not from God. The fear doesn't come from God if you've got fear about serving God with your gift. God doesn't put fear in our hearts. And so if we have fears that plague us or fears about using our gifts, then we need to face those fears. And so how do we do that? How do we face our fears? Well, as Paul says to Timothy here, that perhaps he had let his gift slide, the use of his gift slide, he says to him, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Here it is what God has given to us. He's given us power, he's given us love, he's given us a sound mind, or self-control associated with the mind. In other words, God has given us everything that we need to overcome every fear that Satan may put in us that is keeping us sidelined from serving him. I just wonder if you can turn down the second volume knob on the control there. Or just the master switch would be fine. Thank you. So God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, God has given us everything that we need to overcome anything that might stop us through fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So let's consider that for a moment. He's given us power. What kind of power has God given us that will help us to overcome the fears that might be within us? Well, Luke gives us the answer to that. We find in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Well, every believer has the Holy Spirit within them. Jesus said when he left this world that as he left, he would give to his people, his own, a spirit just like him, who will enable us to live the life that he calls us to live. He will be the friend that draws alongside of us. He'll be the one to empower us. And so he says we have the Holy Spirit within us. He is the power within us. It's God in us. And if we've got God within us, then we don't have to fear. Fear is the evidence that you don't trust God to see you through the problem you're in. You have the power of God in your life as a believer. You have the Holy Spirit, and we have His Christ's resurrection power within us, as Jesus reminded His disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John 4, 4, it says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." He that is in the world is Satan and Satan's forces, and we are reminded that in us, we have the one who is far greater. We have God within us, the Spirit of God. Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" So He saves you, He purchased you, He guides you, He protects you. So what is there to fear? And you might say, well, I understand that, but I'm hesitant about getting involved in church again. I have before, but I got hurt. People disappointed me, and I've decided that I would never let that happen again. Well, let me tell you something this morning. People will always disappoint you. And if you do what you do for people, it's just a matter of time before you get disappointed, before you crash. But when you do what you do for Christ, for His glory, as a service for Him and to Him, even when people disappoint you or hurt you, you can continue serving and using the gift that God's given you to build up His body, the church. Our focus of service needs to be in the right place. We serve others and we serve alongside others, but we're doing it for Christ our Lord. And that helps us to understand how we can keep going when people around us may disappoint us. So God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power. He's also given us love. Verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love." 1 John 4:18 reminds us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." There is no fear in love. In other words, you don't have to fear anything because God loves you. And here's what's unhealthy and unholy about fear. And when God says to us, or we say to God, "I'm not sure you love me and want the best for me." When we think that God is not really on my side, that God doesn't really care about me, and we begin to fear. And our fear says, "I'm not sure, God, that I can trust you with this aspect of my life." We've lost sight of God. We've lost sight of His love for us. We've forgotten how much He loves us, and we need to look back again to Calvary to see how much He loves us, because it's there that we see the tremendous love of God towards us. And so remember that fear and trust cannot reside in the same heart at the same time. You won't find fear in a trusting heart, and you won't find trust in a fearing heart. Do you remember what Jesus said to His disciples that night when they found themselves in a storm on the Sea of Galilee? In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27, he came to His disciples and He said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus didn't say, "Be cheerful because I'm going to get you out of this storm." No, the reason why they didn't have to be afraid and could be cheerful was because Jesus was with them. He says, "Be of good cheer, it is I." do not be afraid. He would be with them through the storm, not necessarily taking them out of the storm. And that's vital for us to understand when we go through life, that there's many storms that come our way. And some of you are in the middle of a storm right now. And God doesn't take you out of the storm. God doesn't remove all the circumstances of the storm to suit what you want. But through the storm, he is with you. As Jesus could say to his disciples, he will say to you, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Spend time with Jesus and see your fears begin to fade. The love Jesus has for you is a perfect love. He really loves us. And when we finally start believing that, his perfect love will cast out our fears. So do not let fear prevent you any longer from being involved in serving the Lord. It is as you serve and use the gift that God's given you that his body on earth will grow and will be used for his glory. So he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and then thirdly, of a sound mind. Verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now that should be reassuring to us, I'm sure. When Paul speaks of God giving a sound mind, he means to be in your right mind, to think sensibly. He's talking about people who we might say are level thinkers. And when a crisis comes, when you face difficulty, you need to have a level head. And that kind of thinking comes from God. He settles you down mentally. He keeps you calm. The word Paul uses here speaks of discipline or self-control. It's a self-control that's related to our mind, our thinking, making right choices. And God has given us a sound mind so that when Satan comes to try and deceive us and confuse us about what is true and what is false, then we can be discerning about what is the difference, what is falsehood and what is truth. And so we need to stop letting Satan intimidate us with a spirit of fear. That's a great weapon that he uses to try and control people, to try and stop us being all that God intended us to be. And he often uses the spirit of fear when we allow perception to overtake reality. Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Verse Psalm 27, 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Is the Lord your light? Is the Lord your salvation? How can the Lord be your salvation? Well, Paul tells us in Acts 16, 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." That's how we have salvation. We put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You depend upon him to save you from your sin and its consequences, and you are restored to a relationship with him. And then we can say with Paul, as he said in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What great confidence that we can have when we know that Christ is our salvation. We can have that assurance and confidence in him. One day a man walked up to his pastor in church and said, "Pastor, I found a wonderful verse on fear. Psalm 56, verse 3, it says, 'Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.'" And the pastor smiled and said to this young man, he says, "That's a wonderful verse on fear, but I've got a better one. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid." Do you hear the difference between those two verses? Better than being afraid and then trusting in the Lord, to trust in the Lord and then not be afraid, as he promises us. So we need to put our trust and faith completely in him. So when fears pervade us and Satan would attempt to bring a spirit of fear upon us, be reminded of God's promise that he has given us power, he has given us love, he's given us a sound mind. So this year, let's decide to serve him using the gift that he's given us, not only to strengthen the fellowship, but to bring glory to God himself. For that is the reason he has given us the gifts. Let's pray as we close our service this morning. Our Father,